Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. Today we got an epic, iconic fucking interview going down. The one and only Travis Porter is in the fucking building. How you guys feeling?
Hey, yeah. Great. Feeling good.
Feeling good. What up, Adam?
I'm excited just to have you guys here. It's such like, you know, you guys are one group that when I said that I was doing the interview, everybody that I told that I was doing the interview, they just reacted with so much energy. Like, oh, yeah. Man. Like,
it's lit.
My homie AD, who was just here, he said, like, man, they were the Migos before the Migos.
Oh, yeah. That's lit.
Yeah, so it's lit.
There's a lot of truth to that, man. Lit.
A lot of truth to that.
We hear that comparison a lot. You know what I'm saying?
Not comparison, but, you know, like a... We just hear that phrase. Like,
that what you could say.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely have their own style, and there's a reason why the Migos have been around for so long and everything. But I think when people look at you guys, they see you guys as being like the young, turned up Atlanta fucking era generation. Before it became so easy, before you could just hop on SoundCloud and just make a hot record in your basement and then just put it online. Like you guys had that formula and that connection with the youth, really, before a lot of people.
No, that's
before social media too. Yeah. You know,
We definitely came out when like Instagram just started.
Right. So give me a year when you guys first started to emerge, and actually maybe we should even go back before that. Talk a little bit about like the early days of you guys just coming together and really deciding that you were gonna start making music together.
We actually used to be called the Hard Hitters, bro.
Yeah.
Aware. Yeah.
It was a lot of us, and we kind of just had the same mindsets, was around the same age. We was the younger cats. And, you know, we started fucking with the ladies, and they loved it. It was no looking back.
Yo, we all grew up together, for real. You heard of Black Mob era and all that?
I've heard that you guys were in some sort of criminal organization called the Black Mob, yes.
Allegedly.
You heard the song T-Bag, though?
Uh-huh, yes.
You know, that's our song.
I've T-Bagged some hoes, so yeah, that's no a theme song right there.
It was Travis Porter before.
Travis Porter.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Game.
Okay, but so,
Strap was really the first person that made like this love song, and all the girls loved it.
Okay,
it was like the ringtone era, you know, when everybody had the ringtone. Even when you say somebody want to leave you a voice message, and you got a song playing on your voicemail.
Yeah, it was that song.
You see what I'm saying? It was like one of them songs, but it was for the ladies. And
I love you.
Yeah, it was tight.
Was that
a big part of it? Like, how early on did you guys realize that it would be better off for you to focus on party music, turned up music, music that would appeal to the girls and not necessarily like some moody shit, some street shit necessarily, that you guys were more oriented with the fun element?
I mean, honestly, that's what the people chose, you know?
We
put out all type of different music, you know, Trap Porter, we got range, we be singing, we be making hood shit, we make like all type of music. That's just what they chose.
That's
definitely what caught.
I felt like you guys very much were like children of the strip club.
We used
to go to the strip club when we was children.
What age, like, did you guys really start being in the strip club? And like were the strippers taking it easy on you because you were underage, or was it more like, nah, we're gonna smother them with our evil attention?
I think they turned them up more.
Nah, look, my mom used to manage the strip club, right?
Wow.
So we'll get snuck in like through the back doors and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that fucked our life up. Yeah,
once you win there, you win there.
We started talking about this.
They not asking for ID once you win there.
Yeah.
You already in there. So
we going back to school the next day, but I was just.
But what y'all did last night? But we was in the strip club. I'm
tipping some pussy.
You know what I'm saying?
And probably every other dude in school was just like, God damn, like you guys are operating on a different level. I can't imagine.
Yeah.
Exactly. They ain't believe it.
No, they didn't.
We was inspiring them. You know what I'm saying?
That's like, real.
Like, we inspired the culture.
Strip club was a fantasy to me when I was 14. I'd heard about it, maybe seen it in a movie.
Yeah.
I didn't have any plans to get in there.
You had Uncut on BET.
Yeah, I definitely definitely whacked off to Tip Drill a few times. Yeah.
That Tip Drill video. That shit was loud.
No, the one video that white girls
in my world.
That song was hard.
Definitely.
Uncut.
I forgot what his name was.
So you really like you feel like the strip club did have a somewhat negative impact on your life, or like did you have to sort of at a certain point kind of change some of the ideas that you had about women because you were so used to being in that environment as a young kid?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that. Like, I feel like the second one, like, I just had to change my mindset about, you know, certain women, not all women, but it's just, you know, I learned a lot in the strip club, a whole lot. Like,
we did.
It was a point where I only used to fuck with strippers. Every female I used to fuck with, I had to stop that though, because it was.
But they'll give you the most game without knowing they giving you the most
game.
Because
they got game too.
Yeah,
exactly. So shout out to the game on your
You
ass.
Know, they going to put you down. You feel me?
Yeah, exactly.
My theory is that the dudes who go and become rappers or drug dealers, if they were women, they would become strippers. Or these days, maybe OnlyFans girls. You know, it's very much the same mentality.
Because
you're maximizing the amount of money you can make in any given time.
Yeah.
Is really what it's all about.
Yeah.
Most girls are stripping. It's just they couldn't go be a doctor or a lawyer and make more money. That would change the decision.
It's but, a finesse, though.
It's a finesse. We support the nigga hustle. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you got game, well, put that game on the lane. And get your change. You know what I'm saying? That's how it go.
I think it probably takes a certain type of woman to be able to withstand the mental torture of having these fucking weird ass dudes throwing money at you and saying crazy shit. Like, for every dude like one of you guys that they actually feel all right chilling with, there's got to be 40 more that are just
fucking
weird
weirdos,
as fuck.
Right.
Hell yeah.
Just think about
like on Players Club, the nigga they used to go to the house.
Yeah, dudes who are in the strip club because there's no chance of them getting pussy outside of the strip club, so they might as well look at some.
Yeah.
See, I never thought about that crowd. I always think about the crowd like the merry old men or the merry people that just want to go get away for a second.
Yeah.
And the young folk that just, you know, we just.
It depends on what club you go to.
I ain't never thought about
the
weirdos,
creeps in
the
corners
that can't get no crevices.
Or the
flies.
They know
that you're looking just like.
Yeah. Just getting drunk, drooling on themselves. Okay, so talk about when. You guys really like, do you guys blow up kind of more in the streets and in the city versus more on the charts and stuff? I feel like at that time you guys grew up or blew up on a very organic level,
like hand to hand.
Yeah, it was so hand to hand that like it started so small, like it started like in our neighborhood and then it expanded to like North Carolina, South Carolina, Jacksonville.
Yeah, we had to work them streets and them CDs, them digital
circuit.
You know, we had to,
You guys were still moving CDs out the trunk.
We out of trunk.
We wasn't selling them. We was giving them out.
It was
promotion. Everything was promotion. So we was actually making money like on our shows, and then we'll just use the money for our shows to press up our CDs and give them all away for free.
Like at the CD shops, and you know, just you feel me? So they make a profit off it too.
The CD shops actually was making money off of it. Mm-hmm. So we'll give them to the CD shop, and CD shop will sell them shits.
Definitely. Yeah. I feel like you guys were probably one of the last to really have that hustle, to be like pushing the CDs hand in hand and shit.
Like us, Gorilla Zoe, like around that time, like for sure, we was going crazy.
That's the round time it was changing, like everything was changing right around that time.
And in a lot of ways, I feel like artists from your generation are the ones who sometimes kind of got screwed by the fact that the labels didn't know how to make money off of your, like when I'm watching I watched a documentary about you guys yesterday, and I'm seeing how it was such a big deal for the label to want to give you guys $1 million.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about it, I'm like, oh my God, if you had Travis Porter come out right now, you would have labels fighting to give them $1 million.
Yeah. That was crazy. That was a fun time though, the whole little
transition.
Yeah,
you know, in the game.
We was moving around so much, and then $1 million. They're like, yeah, man, we want to give y'all $1 million. He was like, man, what? $1 million? Man, I was really cool on the million, though. I'm not going to lie. I was cool on the million, though. I mean, at the time, probably, but now that I'm looking back on it, like, I'm glad I didn't take $1 million because it wouldn't have made sense to me.
Right. Yeah. It's kind of a short-sighted thing in the long run,
that
right?
That shit too short, like, bitch.
I'm
saying.
For real.
So where was the most, when you guys thought about your business, it was primarily about doing shows at the time, since it was very hard to monetize, you know, streaming or putting your shit online. It was like YouTube.
Because we wasn't dropping like albums or nothing on like iTunes stuff. We was dropping mixtapes and really just doing shows.
Right.
Yeah, mixtape, doing shows. And then like, I feel like.
And radio, you know, royalties and all that. That's basically where all the income's coming from, shows, royalties.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't no streaming for real.
Yeah. That whole revenue stream that everybody in the labels, like when they're giving somebody $1 million to sign now, that's why. It's because they want to just touch as much as possible out of the streaming revenue.
Immediately. I felt like once we had got on the tour with Mac Miller, that's when we learned about the merch, because he was going so crazy on the merch. Like We was like, man, we got to get in this merch game because he making $20,000 a night off fucking merch. Like, nah, we got to get in here. So that's when we got on the merch. So it was like shows, merch, royalties.
That's pretty epic, though. How did you, what was your thoughts on Mac Miller at the time? And what was it like being on tour with him? He seemed like he was such a good-natured, fun guy.
Good guy.
Yeah, yeah, he was cool, man. Mac was... I feel like Mac was the same person he was like on like TV or something like that. If you seen him on TV or something, he was the same dude.
Funny, you know, high spirit, you know.
Yeah, like Mac was cool, bro. Like
that tour was us, him, YG. Yeah.
Wow, bro. So you covering the whole all the hip hop right there. You got all different sides.
She was great.
All different sides, bro.
You got the white boy, the turn up kids, and the mega gangster. That's very good right there. Yeah,
bro. It was so, and it was like a safe tour. Like you know what I'm saying? It was lit. Like we went to some places we never had been before, like Albuquerque and shit.
It was some weird ass towns, but
Des Moines,
it was
Iowa, and shit like that.
That's what I was saying. I'm like, you guys must have had your music getting turned on to so many people that wouldn't have heard it anyway, because I felt like Mac Miller had like a very unique college kid audience that wasn't necessary. Maybe that was like the first rapper they really fucked with, a lot of these kids.
Yeah, and then he exposed us to them, like, and then it just like, bro, that tour, like, it was crazy as fuck, like, bro, like. So many people a night, like that was like our first time being in like 6,000 a night. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It was so crazy, like the college runs, and that's how we kind of got we had the college crowd, but like that's how we really got them. Like
that's how we that's like how we embedded got them white college kids.
Yeah, yeah, right, like we like
they're
like,
loyal,
bro. The way we perform,
one thing
like,
about them, they loyal for sure.
It's the way we perform too. Like they didn't see like you know. People perform. Like, if you look at people now, like, you know what I'm saying? They not really performing.
We gave
like
them a
that.
Show.
Yeah, we had like energy, you know? We just.
You know, exactly, you know what I'm saying? But a lot of people perform now, you know what I'm saying? They rock back and forth. They do their thing, but, you know, it's a handful of people that's, you know what I'm saying, that's turned up. But, you know what I mean? When we was performing on that tour, I feel like we had, like.
The greatest show on earth.
Just grabbed them. You know what I'm saying?
Who are you guys looking at for inspiration in that regard, though? Because I feel like when you talk to young kids now, they're like Travis Scott. Is the ultimate performer, and he made me want to be energetic on stage.
I like his videos a lot. I love his videos.
His whole aesthetic of his like shows be fire. You know what I'm saying? That's another thing. Like he put money on his sets too. So you know what I'm saying? That's a big thing about.
But
you
who
know?
We say was inspired from? I don't know.
I really want to say each other nowadays.
I don't know. I think like Lil Jon or somebody. Mm-hmm. Like Lil Jon used to be turned up. Like
you guys were like the younger version of that. Yeah. Like taking that same energy, but coming from people that the kids could relate to more. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Like Lil Jon was just so turned up. Like and you would see, he would seem like he just have the most energy. Like,
but I ain't gonna lie, Atlanta just been like that from like all the like Nuck and Bucks.
Yeah,
like,
oh yeah,
get some crunk in your system, all that. Like we in the club. You know, we turned up, we lit. Like, it's always been like that with Atlanta.
And that's what the kids want. And that's what's a shame is that's what I always tell, like, or I always think with rappers, I'm like, bro, like, don't get in the game and just start popping pills and drinking lean because these kids want energy from you. If you come in the game and you start doing all that shit, you're going to erase your fucking charisma and your energy from your personality. And that's not good in the long run.
But I feel like everybody go through that little phase.
Yeah, though. Everybody dips in a little bit. You know what I'm saying? I don't know about you guys, but
I got one.
No, I had my little time. You know, I was drinking lean. Like every time we come from a show, I'm coming back to the A. I go buy me a pint. I'm going right upstairs. Drinking my little drink, playing Grand Theft Auto. I'm not doing shit.
I'm not gonna lie, it don't sound bad at all. that sounds like a nice night.
That's when Grand Theft Auto first came out too.
Yeah, you're just really exploring shit
really
for the first
time.
I respect that. Okay, but so were you guys partying to that extent before you started getting popular, or was that more like you start getting popular, all of a sudden you got access to some of the other side?
We been going
life.
Crazy.
We were outside. We was always outside.
Yeah, it was right.
We just told you we was going crazy since we was.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
16,
hey, no, it was these clubs in Atlanta called HNIC.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Like it was a teen club in Atlanta.
Really?
used to go crazy.
Yeah.
That's how 21 popped off. All them HNICs, all them teen clubs.
Really?
Trying to tell you.
Wow, that's interesting.
It's not, like it's not extended a thing. Family. It's not a 21 thing like anymore, extended family. Though.
Like the teen club is not a thing anymore because they be shooting it up too much now.
Yeah. No. I used to go to 18 plus clubs in LA too, and I wonder if that shit still exists. It seems kind of weird.
I don't know. Yeah, it's kind of weird.
I don't know. Like, I can't. I wouldn't put it past them. I really don't know. I don't know.
But okay, so was it an issue for you guys? Because a lot of times, like artists come out of Atlanta and shit, it's kind of like you could be a fun artist or you could be a gangster artist. And with you guys, and I didn't necessarily know about it at the time, but you guys were off the porch like you were saying, and you guys were wrapped up in some shit, but I feel like a lot of people might have been looking at you guys like you were just kids just having fun or whatever. Was that a balance that, and I'm sure there was people on your team and stuff that wanted you guys to not be involved with anything sketchy and just focus on the music and shit, right?
We didn't have a problem with that because we know where we from. You know what I'm saying? Like Ali said, we have a large catalog of music, so that did our kind of music. But you know, the music that works and pop for us was fun music, that something that everybody could relate to.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. So it's you could say it's a gift and a curse, but it's really not weak because we comfortable with it. You feel me?
Definitely.
Not too gangster. Not too.
You know, corny.
You know what I'm saying.
Not just corny.
It was just perfect. You know.
But was that ever a conversation? Like, did someone in the group ever say like, "Oh, I want to do this song," and then somebody in this group was like, "I don't know if that's us. Like, that's a little too aggressive."
It's balanced.
Nah, it's balanced.
It's always been like that, though.
He's the dirty one.
He's trying to talk that gangster shit.
It's how we balance each other out. That's not so
I feel like all of us be on that too, though. Like, like some of our biggest songs, we all was on some like, I don't know about that.
It was
shit.
Like it was just too like corny type.
Hey, ladies.
Yeah,
you know, but look at it.
We hated that shit.
That's got to be the tricky thing about being you guys is that like a lot of your biggest songs are the ones that are almost too corny, like almost like, a little bit too obvious.
I feel them.
You feel me? At the door.
It's just part of music, you know what I'm saying? And it's nostalgic. It's just something we can't get away from. And, you know,
I was watching all you guys' videos last night with my girl on the couch, and my girl, like at least three times, she said, "This was them." Like, I didn't know that was their song. Exactly. Like, but that was such a big song that I almost like didn't even feel the need. Like, she's not exactly a hip hop head, to be honest, but she didn't necessarily like the songs were so big that they kind of got bigger than even just a single artist. Were you guys aware of that at a certain point?
So the fact, I think he said it last night that he was like in the midst of us like arguing about something, and he was like, "Yo, bro, something like." He was like, "Bro, some of our music is like ahead of us. Like, if it's not ahead of us, it's like people don't know who it is. But when they hear it, they like, yo, I know this song. This is y'all. Like, damn, this shit is crazy. Like, and I don't know. Like, I don't know how I feel about it. But I know that shit happens, and I know that shit is like kind of like." I fuck with it.
It's a good problem to have.
Yeah, I fuck with it.
It's good, but it's not good. It's good because of right now.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. If it was like 5-6 years ago and they was like, "Oh, this you, cool." But it's like now we ain't even put out no music. They now knowing like, "Oh, okay, this y'all, like this they shit is fire, like this shit hot." Like, I fuck with it. But you feel how you feel.
Yeah, I don't think I fuck with it.
Do you feel like
we balance each other out?
The records got so big, I'm just guessing, but the records got so big that you felt like at a certain point maybe the marketing of you guys as a group didn't match up with how big the records were, and it's sort of like some value got left behind?
But I don't feel like that about the hits like Make It Rain, Hey Ladies, Bring It Back. I feel like that about like the undercut joints. Like I feel like that about like, say like we had a song with YG 9 times out of 10, or we had like this song with Jeremiah Ride like that, or we had like other little joints like that. That's what I feel like that about. I feel like that like.
But nah, I be in like an Uber sometimes, and they be like, "Yo, what you do?" You know, I just be asking. You know how I be asking questions.
Yeah.
You never supposed to tell an Uber driver what you do.
Now I always tell them I'm an engineer, so they stop talking.
Facts. I'm an engineer. Yeah, I just engineer up here at the studio.
I just give them the most boring answer ever. Like, yeah.
Engineer. Then they gonna ask you who you engineer for, and you just say.
Locals.
I tell them I work in a warehouse.
Exactly. Shit like that.
It's basically true.
Shit like that. You ain't lying.
Well, what I was saying though, I gotta tell the engineer like, "Oh, who I am," and they'd be like, "Oh, what's the songs that I heard?" Then they'll play the songs, be like, "Oh, I know this." And then they'll play another one. Oh, no, this one too. Damn, this is y'all. Mm. Like, that shit kind of pisses me off a little bit.
Yeah.
Because, like, how the fuck you didn't know that?
Right, yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
I respect it.
Definitely. Okay, but so was All the Way Turned Up you guys' first flirtation with exploding and, like, getting really big? Because, like, when I was reading about it, I'm like, this was them? And then I'm like, oh, right, this ultimately wasn't them, like, at least in the public eye. Like, can we go through how that situation actually unfolded?
Really, like, we was already building a name for ourselves, and we had traction, and then a tape that we was putting out that was highly anticipated, we ended up putting All the Way Turned Up at the end of it.
Okay.
You know, with Roscoe Dash.
So you didn't think that was a hit?
I mean, we knew it was a good song, but we didn't know it was going to do that.
But wait, before that, we had already had, like, we had put out songs before.
Yeah.
And the Go Shorty going crazy before that.
Okay, yeah. And even so before that, bitch, like, in our neighborhood, like, I felt like we put out songs and they were, like, fire. Like we had put out songs. So
basically, it was really just waiting on something. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
They just amplified
it. And then the tape came out, and then that's the song that went crazy.
Mm.
You know, then what happened after that?
But so, okay, did you guys ask Roscoe Dash, like, hey, we want to put you on the song? Or was it a thing where he said, I want to turn my song up, so I'm going to get Travis Porter?
This is what happened. Ultimately, that is what happened, you know what I'm saying? But we in the car one day while his cousin YT, him and Roscoe, come scoop me. I probably like at a hotel party with some freaks and shit, you know what I'm saying?
Throw that in there.
That's what's up. Yeah.
And anyway, you know, we get in the car, he like, man, I want to play some music. And he played that song, and I'm like, shit, we finna go to the studio right now. We gonna hop on it. But I was by myself. So it was no studio open. That night, we had a session the next day, you know what I'm saying? The CEO, Charlie, was with us. And we hopped on it and, you know, put that bitch out, and it wasn't no looking back from that motherfucker.
Okay.
Like, honestly.
Was it in retrospect, was it mostly like a paperwork issue? Like, you would have wanted it to be figured out in advance if it were to happen now?
For sure.
But it was bigger than that.
It was bigger than that. But it was also people in his ear telling him, like, hey, man, you know, you come over here, you can be, you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
But, you know, ultimately what it was, we didn't think the song was going to do that.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we knew it was a good song, and it just kind of blew up. It was bigger than all of us at that time. Yeah,
and that was like that was the first time we had ever dealt with some shit like that to where it blew up so fast that we didn't know what was going on. Like, and it was a song that we didn't think that was going to do it, so we wasn't prepared to, like, do, you know what I'm saying? We wasn't prepared. It was already on the mixtape site as Travis Porter featuring Roscoe Dash and YT.
Because you guys probably hopped on 100 features over the years that didn't go crazy, and you never gave a fuck about not getting more money off it.
And we put it on our tape because we was doing hella songs with Roscoe. So we was like, all right, fuck it, we gonna just bring him with us. It makes sense. So let's put it on the mixtape because he had, like, did he have one on that tape, or was the next tape?
The next tape was like...
The next tape was the one when we was with him. All right, cool. So we was just like, shit, we making so many songs with you, we might as well put this on the end of our mixtape, and then the next mixtape, we put you on a couple more songs, you know what I'm saying?
Like introducing him.
Exactly. But, I mean, that shit was cool, man. I fuck with that shit. I fuck with the way, I fuck with the song, but I just didn't fuck with the way the shit ended.
It was just too much going on with that.
But, you know, that's how we live and learn, you know what I'm saying? We know how to do business better.
See opportunity, you know, they're going to take their opportunity.
But when did you guys start to have some friction where he would want to put Soulja Boy on the song instead of you guys for the video? Was it like he didn't appreciate the fact that you guys felt some kind of way about the song being considered all his or something like that? It was a little bit of shit talking mixed in there?
It was shit talking.
I think what it was is our name was overpowering his name on the song.
Because he was a brand new artist at that point, right?
Yeah. Travis Porter was already Travis Porter. It was just him.
Yeah, it was ATL then.
And so I feel like they felt some type of way and was like, nah, this ain't they fucking song. So, boom, put Soulja Boy on and remade the beat, you know?
It's basically exactly the same story as Gucci and Jeezy.
Yeah. Same shit.
Yeah.
And the same shit with
Rats on Rats.
With Future and YC.
There you go. What the hell happened to YC? That's a good question.
It's basically the same story. Like, but people don't be understanding, like, that's even a part of your story. Like, you can use that as leverage, but they want, you know,
you gotta respect both sides of it, what it is.
Was there ever a time where you guys were, like, really furious at that situation. Or,
listen, we done bumped heads with Roscoe at shows. Almost done got into it with him at shows. Security. Man, what? Multiple times.
But you know, we bigger than that now, you know?
For sure.
Yeah.
You know?
No, that's good news for sure. Yeah. Okay, but so then that ended up kind of being like a almost like a good test to you guys, because I'm sure there was a lot of people looking at y'all like, can you do it again? Can you make another fire song that's going to be as big as that one? And then you guys basically just did that over and over and showed everybody that, like, nah, it was not like we had one hit in it. So there's a lot of artists who will, like, miss out an opportunity like that, and they don't got another hit in them.
Yeah, exactly.
And I feel like the only difference with us and Roscoe is that ours was just a little bit more faster.
Mm.
Like, he did come with joints. Like, if you remember, like, he had the one with Walker, the Pretty Girl Anthem. He had some joints, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But that's just the only difference between us and him. Like, ours was, like damn near, like, quick. It was quick. Like, it was super quick. So, I feel like...
Because it was us, you know, at the end of the day.
But
trash.
I feel like in our hearts and our mind, even, like, subconsciously, we like, man, we got to show these folks.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because
it was a name on our head, like, y'all stole somebody's record.
So,
you know what I'm saying? So
gotta screen it up.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, so the story got kind of twisted up in the press and with the fans and stuff, and they felt like y'all might have been being shady in that whole situation.
Yeah, exactly. So it was just something we had to prove, like, all right, y'all said we stole somebody's record, then all right, cool.
Here you go.
Did you guys have a real fire under your ass at that point? Were you in the studio just like going harder than you had previously gone?
Nah, I don't feel like
it was ready.
It was organic.
Yeah. We was already just having records. Mm. We was already making them. So it was just like, all right, cool. Let's just put this out. But it was joints that we already knew that was like,
you know, I was wondering when I was seeing you guys in the studio and stuff, and it was just kind of talking about, because it was in the basement of one of your mom's house, right?
It was Charlie's mom.
Charlie's mom.
Okay. Charlie.
Right.
Shout out to Charlie.
Yeah. Is that the white guy from this documentary? Uh-huh. Yeah. Is he still around? Is that part of your career?
You know, he do that little cross the country, be running and stuff.
For the Nike.
Really?
He
done lost a lot of weight. You know, shout out to him.
That's what I was thinking. I'm like, he was looking pretty plus size in that video. I seen him last night, but that's amazing. Yeah. Good for him. That's crazy.
He your size now.
Damn. I ain't running across the country either. So
he not a part of our management company right now, but
he's still family.
That's what's up. But okay, yeah, when you guys are in the studio making records though, like, what was the environment like? Because you guys make such turn up music that, like, it's almost like, do you have to be like having a good party type vibe in order to create that kind of energy?
It
can you be in your
be
sweatpants, like, just sitting down on a stool making a hit turn up record?
We can do that.
We can do that for sure.
I feel like over the time we just mastered doing it. Mm. You feel me?
Sure. Like, as long as we in the studio laughing, you know, just drinking, you know, having a good time, is something gonna come out?
It's
good.
Gonna come out
for sure.
Mm-hmm. That's a beautiful thing.
But it was a part of time where we need 10 hoes in the bitch.
Yeah,
I want red Skittles. I want some Swishes, some Dutchies, some Sprites, some Christmas to pop in.
And
it's like, it's just a lot. So we just grew as artists and as, you know. As
you be trying to plot on who you want to hit. You need to be worried about
they you. See, they you.
No, I feel that.
No
If you got 10 girls that you know are available at any given time when you're making a song, how the fuck are you going to think about making a song? The song's going to go out the window at a certain point, right?
You start throwing shots at them hoes in the verse.
That's all you said in the booth.
Exactly.
I want shot in the blue. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Shit like that. You know, oh, he talking about me.
Oh, God.
Come on, you know.
Oh, he shouted me out in the song. It's a beautiful thing. That song ain't never coming out. We're changing the words.
Never.
Out.
Look
at Adam, man. He's been in the studio too many times.
That's why I can't go no more. Okay, but so after that, what was like kind of the order of the hits that blew up after the whole debacle with All the Way Turned Up? Was A Ladies the big one after that? Was there a couple in between?
A Lady was the latest one.
Okay.
I feel like, oh shit.
It was Make It Rain.
Make It Rain.
It was Make It Rain.
Yeah, make It Rain and Bring It Back. Like the same
thing. We shot that little low, like little low budget video, but everybody loved it with the little shadow. And the girl with the little kick, the stripper kick.
Right.
Yeah, that's
true. We invented that, by the way.
No kick.
Interesting.
Well, I didn't invent that. The girl.
you told her to do it.
You get my sword.
Oh, my God. Yo, when you heard that beat, did that really stand out to you? That is something special? Because that there's something about, even when I just heard that fucking like horn sample like come in, I was like oh,
we,
man.
Our engineer was first FKI.
Yeah.
Okay.
We didn't even know he made beats or nothing. And he just played that beat one day. But it had a whole bunch of other stuff going on. It was weird as hell. Mm-hmm. But that little one hard. Drop was hard. I'm like, man, yeah. Fuck, look, take all that other shit out. Keep that shit right there, and this shit's gonna go crazy.
Yeah, man, here we go.
And then this I came up with the flow
and it was a rap.
That was the first time I had ever rapped like that. So I was like, damn, this shit's kind of hard. But first is the one who kind of like,
you know,
he moved some shit around, did some woo woo woo, and then you know.
That does seem like a pretty like. Influential flow, and that people weren't really like messing with their cadence and stuff. Like even when we put you, when we say like, "Oh, Migos blew the fuck up after this" or whatever. Like there was a lot of experimentation going on with flows at that time that was really like putting a new spin on rapping. That a lot of people like old school rappers.
You stole my whole fucking.
My old school rappers rapped in like a very simple fashion, and all of a sudden you had a lot of young kids playing with cadences and like know, how you could split shit up, right?
He's crazy with like flows and like making words sound.
Try to rhyme them. It's just
he be making them rhyme. I don't know.
He can rhyme orange with potato. I don't know how. He'll make that be a rhyme.
That's beautiful.
after the Make It Rain, it was Bring It Back,
and we made them songs in the same day.
Really, the same day.
So it was on one that day.
Do you think that was a coincidence, or you think that that because like what I'm saying that energy,
Big God.
If there was really amazing energy that day, maybe you would make a couple of hits because of the energy, right?
Yeah, I think the vibe. Sorry about the energy. I think the vibe was crazy. The energy was crazy. We had our own studio, like we was having fun.
Definitely,
yeah,
sure.
When you see that Make It Rain video, there's so many fucking epic ass cameos. You got Chris Brown in there.
You talking about the A-Ladies.
Oh, A-Ladies. Sorry.
Yeah. I watched that shit.
That's when we first like really did L.A.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And we ran out the whole floor of the, what hotel that was?
The Standard?
I think they probably changed the name or something.
Was it? Because my girl was watching with me last night, and she said they just closed that fucking hotel, which is actually really
right
sad.
Right next to that bullpen in place?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the one right there.
Yeah, that shit was crazy, bro. That was like, bro, I had so much fun at that video.
That was a moving out of video.
We had like we had 200 girls at that video.
That's what I was saying, because she said like, this doesn't seem like a very high budget video. I go, well, they got about 200 bad bitches, and they got the whole top floor of a hotel, so that's going to kind of cost a bit right there.
It was grooving.
And the top with the pool and everything.
Yes. That shit was groovy. That shit was crazy.
That was the first day we met Nipsey Hussle. I pulled up to the video shoot, but he ain't getting the video.
Really? What was that like?
Nah, he was just cool. Respect. He was just chilling.
Yeah, but you guys had connected before, like you knew who he was, and you were like,
I was familiar with him, but I didn't know he was pulling up or nothing. Like, I was just, you know.
Everybody
pulling up just real genuine. I mean, I guess they just heard. It's 200 bitches up here.
All the real niggas gonna pull up to 200 bitches at a hotel. You know. Like, who's not gonna?
That is
up?
Not a bad point. Yeah. If you were like, hey, come through, we got 200 bad bitches. Okay, Chris Brown in the video turning up.
He heard it was 200 hoes.
Me and Neil pulled up with, what you call it?
What?
Who?
Oh, what the hell? What's the buddy's name, bro?
Who's talking?
Bro, y'all know who I'm talking about.
I don't know who you're talking about.
ARAB?
No, Meek Mill pulled up with, bro, the nigga that be dancing.
Who?
African, Jamaican nigga.
Safari?
Yeah.
Oh, Safari.
Safari. Are you serious?
I did.
For real?
Safari and Meek Mill pulled up together.
I did not even know that they were tight.
Shoot. I don't remember that.
Remember that was riding the four-wheelers and shit together? I'm trying to tell y'all, bro.
I believe you.
That's LA history, man. There should have been a behind-the-scenes video. There probably is, right? That would be a hell of a behind-the-scenes.
Who knows?
Safari and Meek Mill pulled up together. What?
But that was like in 2000. Like it was.
That was
know,
before Nicki drove them apart.
That was so.
Yeah, that was.
Man,
that's
crazy.
Damn, that's lit right there. That's fucking crazy. That's a serious LA tale. That ain't our business. I feel you on that. Okay, so let me ask you this: you got 200 girls around.
Mm-hmm.
Are you guys taking full advantage of the situation? Is there a little bit of you holding back and not necessarily, oh, I don't want to know. Not me. I'm not the one.
No, this was our like one of our first times in LA.
Yeah.
We're taking full advantage of what's going on.
And like, we rented the whole floor. So
all those rooms is active.
Yeah.
Active. Yeah, active.
Sweet Jesus.
Two times.
Would you ever deal with like crazy situations with groupies and just weird ass shit happening at that time? Man, you guys were probably getting so much attention from girls. I can't imagine it all went smoothly.
He had a girl crying in the hallway one night, bro.
Well, you kicked her out and brought another one in?
Yes, I think or some shit like that. Like, I was like, damn, bro.
I went to Dubai?
She was doing too much.
No, I'm talking about
finna stay. North Carolina. Appreciate
it. You know the girls that try to act like she not fucking all your homeboys, but then try to act like she just all yours?
She really
And then go try to cry, make a scene.
Wow. Cap ain't in. Yeah. Oh, watch that. Move around.
One of them scenes, I was like, damn.
That's crazy.
That was pretty crazy. Like,
nah, I fucked it. What was crazy? One hoe stole one of his chains back in the day. And my buddy go to Waffle House to get us something to eat. Ali fell asleep, I guess, after he got down to the hoe through the hoe in Waffle House just probably laying with Ali chain on.
eating up.
Just eating. My buddy go over there. Hoe, give me that. No, this ain't yours. Just scratching the issue, but they just tell you how bold motherfucker be sometimes.
That shit crazy.
You know what I'm saying? And you got different type of women like. That's insane. Look at your face. I know they're crazy, right?
She took the chain off him and was just making like she was doing a TikTok in the Waffle House.
This is not TikTok. No,
that's what I'm picturing is a girl doing a Waffle House TikTok with a rapper chain on.
She probably took it out of the room, out the hotel room.
She probably got finna putting it down on me.
You know?
I don't fuck around. Caught disease.
You had to send one of your homies to get the chain from the Waffle House?
No, I didn't even send him. He was just there.
It was just coincidence.
Yeah.
That's the worst thing about the pandemic. I ain't been to a Waffle House in like a year.
Yeah. What? I ain't went to set in that bitch either.
I ain't got no Waffle House out here.
Hey, man.
Oh, you ain't been out here?
They only got Waffle House out here.
I left California in like a year, huh?
Yeah. Oh, damn.
I don't think. Oh, man. But, okay, yeah, that was a fucking huge moment.
Brev said Waffle.
Yeah, so from you guys' perspective, like, okay, this is one thing I've always been interested in is have you guys always stayed tight or were there time periods where you didn't really fuck with each other and there was some sort of strain, you know, like all these ups and downs of a career will sort of put a lot of stress on a friendship.
No, I feel like it was times where everybody wanted to do their own thing. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It was times where like we all stayed together, like, and then there was family. Times where we like moved out of the same spot. And then there was the times where niggas was like, all right, shit, let me do my own thing, shit. Cause we would be together so much. So once we got our own crib, it's like, all right, shit, let me do my own thing. I'm living by myself. Let me do my own thing.
That's always how it happens. Once people start getting money and they get their own spot and their girl and they sort of have their own thing,
exactly.
It can fuck up the chemistry of the friendship.
Exactly. Not even the friendship, but of the artistry
in particular.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So now that we living in our own spots, I got my girl, he got his girl, he got his girl. I'm chilling like shit. I got the studio at my house, he got one.
You know?
I feel like that's the strain on the whole thing, you know what I'm saying?
Sometimes.
So, you know what I mean?
A lot of times.
Mm. I feel it. But were you guys, like, when you talk about having a girl, was it kind of hard to, like, sort of settle down, fall back, be in a relationship after, you know, you guys living like a large percentage of your life just drowning in pussy, like, you know, just having it just blasting out of the walls everywhere you go.
Yeah, I feel like now, like,
I plead the fifth.
Nah, look, for real,
talk about something
like,
else.
The problem is,
interview over. What they say?
You get a black child walk out.
Listen, the problem I got is I'm so used to like posting shit, like shit that I post. I don't think it's that serious.
You
know what I'm saying? I fuck around and post some shit like something with the girl shaking or she twerking.
Yeah, I don't even be posting them.
And it's a problem.
Like, it's so, like, that's why I feel like that part of my life has done for my love life. Like, that's fucked it up. Because I be posting some shit. Girls be more sensitive. Like, you know
too
what I'm saying?
Too damn sensitive.
Girl, I'll post some shit like, you remember the...
the past that bitch?
Yes. The fucking, what is it called? Yeah, in Vegas.
Yeah,
in
What were we doing?
I watched it.
It was like, we tagged in.
Tag team that hoe.
We went tag team. She was just twerking though. He tagged, I tagged, he tagged.
Tag team, back again.
My girl going crazy. It got 100,000 views on Instagram. But
women be sensitive though, man. Yeah. Women be sensitive, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, shit's changed a lot because like, if you guys were out at a strip club in 2010 turning up all night, it's like very likely you could go back home to your girlfriend and she would really not have that much of a clue. At least she wouldn't have a visual reference to what the fuck was going on.
Exactly.
Now, even if you stay off your Instagram story, you're going to be on somebody else's Instagram story and then it's going to, oh, let's go tag his girlfriend. Ha ha, this will be funny. You know,
shit like that.
You know, they go digging. They
shit like that. For digging. For private investigator.
What? Oh, God.
Okay.
That was Twitter PI back then. They were doing some Twitter shit. Okay.
That was like the early days of us living in this fucking surveillance state where everything could be tracked online, you know?
Man, well, I can't wait till they dig some old ass tweet up.
Probably got some good shit out there.
Bro, what? I got it's some shit. Nice shit out there. I'm trying to tell you.
Everything on camera nowadays, man. Everything being documented. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
That's 100% facts. Okay, so when people say to you, like, or when people say, like, what happened to Travis Porter, how would you guys kind of explain that maybe at a certain point you guys fell out of the spotlight as much or whatever? I mean, obviously you guys are still out here, still doing shit, still making music, but in terms of the career sort of like hitting a wall at a certain point or whatever, would you blame that on the labels primarily? How do you account for that?
Well, listen, to be 1,000, like, our last joint that we really put out was a song with our homie Bankroll Fresh. It was called Walked In.
Rest in peace. Yeah.
So that was free. Like, that was like really like when everybody was just like, damn, you know what I'm saying? It was kind of like one of them heartbreaking situations where somebody who with you every day and you know what I'm saying?
So you knew Bankroll from super early in his career?
Like, not even.
We know him. I knew Fresh like 2000. Like 2013, 14, you know, had been for me. You know, when you hear somebody's name in the streets, what up, you kind of familiar with the music. Yeah. And yeah, I fuck around and get acquainted.
He was coming up for a long time before he actually started.
Yeah. Long time coming. So, you know, we started dealing around. Love Fresh energy off the rip as soon as I met him. You know what I'm saying? Had an amazing energy. And we just all became friends, you know what I'm saying? I was dealing with him for a minute. Mm-hmm. And I loved his sound, you know. Brought him around and it was, you know, everything else was history.
Mm. We was supposed to make that Streets RS 2 with Bankroll.
Really?
Yeah.
That was on the way. Exactly.
Yeah, that was
on the way.
That was our next project. That was the project we was working on. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And then I feel like that was really.
That was
the
halt too.
That
you know?
Bro, that shit was so crazy, bro. I feel like that was like the reason for all, well, for at least for me, like at that moment, like damn, I don't want to go to the studio. I'm chilling. I'm at the house. I'm
yeah,
cool
that's
when
we had this big house together. We, you know, we was all together.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Bankroll used to be at our house every day. Like, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like,
first one up in the morning.
Facts, like.
Really? Facts, bro.
Bro, that was, I don't know.
So it was just, you know, dealing with life, it wasn't like a really, I know we kind of was outside of the limelight, but we was just, you know, still at it, you know, working on our catalog, you know what I'm saying, making it bigger, but it was, you know, just dealing with shit, you know, deaths and, you know, just life as a human, you know what I'm saying?
I still feel like it's a lot of our fault still, too, though.
Really? Yeah.
Because we wasn't just really just in tune all the way. Well, yeah. I wasn't.
With the music or with the, you was really trying to be successful or what was it that you guys were doing wrong?
Just everything.
On the artistry.
Yeah, just everything, man. You know. And like, you know, the labels collapsed and then like we had to go be with some label that didn't even really fuck with us.
That must have been a big part of it,
we
right?
We had to find some more motivation.
That was a major, was a big part too, though. For sure.
When I was watching this about how you guys are on one label and then it gets turned into another label and everything, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, that's a death sentence. There's like almost no rappers who are going to consistently be embraced. Because, like, you know, that's the problem with the record label is that they give you $1 million to sign you and then all of a sudden there's somebody else working there and they just don't. Like, you would think that if you're going to give somebody $1 million, like, if you gave someone $1 million, you're going to. They don't pay you back. It's your whole fucking purpose of existing to figure out how to get the $1 million back. With a label, it's not like that. Yeah. They fucking forget about their investment pretty quickly because it's just changing staff all the time.
It ain't even
them.
It's the staff. Like the staff not attached to that $1 million. Whatever. Mm-hmm. It's the company that's attached to that $1 million. So shit is whatever.
They just finish the company to give them $1 million to get to the artist.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So they can move and do whatever they want to do. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's really the attachment. The people that signed us ain't the people that's working. But
that's where the disconnect was at. That's where the disconnect was at.
It was really the crash of the labels, and they weren't really fucking with us high. You know what I'm saying?
Nah, they was fucking with us. They just wanted
Jive
to do some
other
shit.
Was fucking with us, but RCA was.
Jive
was
different.
They were trying to switch some shit up about us. You know
Yeah.
Oh, what were they trying to switch up? Make it more.
It's us. Trying to switch us a little bit.
Mm. Make it more poppy.
Make that shit more corny.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. That little inch of corny we was talking about, they wanted to cross that line. They wanted to cross that line, bro.
I could see
we wasn't crossing it.
And with you guys, were you guys getting more and more like, I want to make music that I like and that the streets are going to appreciate and that the people who are in the clubs that I'm around are going to appreciate. So you don't want to make a top 40 necessarily a song that sounds super designed to just be huge.
Because we wasn't trying to design it.
It
like
can
that.
Be a top 40 song without you doing that. Yeah,
exactly.
We just wanted to be us.
All them songs kind of sounded designed. Like, and we was like, nah, man, like, we cool.
And we see that now because, like, such a huge percentage of, like, big rap songs that pop off don't sound like they were made to be a hit. It sounds like some fucking, like, random city down south gangster ass song that wasn't made to be a hit, but people relate to the realness.
I feel like they want us to be like a group that was like, we won a contest and now we together.
Yeah.
And they building us like, nah, that ain't what's going on.
They did.
You guys said the Jive, when you showed up, that they had already, even before signing you, that they had shit all over the walls and everything, like as if they had already signed you. Like how big the full court press
It was a bidding war. It was a bidding war for us.
All the labels did that.
Yeah.
They're trying to win us over.
Yeah. You know, trying to win us over.
Some shit like, damn, okay. Who got the biggest party?
And nigga, we go to a party in New York one day. I think it's between bidding wars. We go to the club with Diddy. Yeah, I think, what club was it?
I forgot. I just remember going to the house.
I don't know.
Yeah, I remember going to Diddy house. That shit was so funny.
Man, in between this bidding war, like whoever we was going against in the club, he said, man, the folk over there drinking pee-pee. No folk ain't drinking then. No folk drinking peace. We drinking the real one over here.
Ciroc.
I think like New York Times. I think it said like Travis Porter did a new group. Some like shit like that. I think Charlie was still with us, so it was just a headache. Funny. All the bidding war shit, man.
Hey Diddy, like the biggest.
The biggest. Oh, he flip.
I fuck with him.
How you flip?
Like Holmes, bro. Like, bro, we went to his crib in New York, bro.
Big come out.
And it was just what? Mind blowing.
But like, the cats fits in the drinks in the motherfucker.
Over goddamn Central Park.
Hey, no, look, what happened was, boom, we sitting down. He's like, y'all want some drink? So, hey, go make us some drinks.
Yeah.
And like, we turn around, like, oh, this Cassie making us drinks.
Bro. That shit was fire.
That was fire.
Oh, Cassie brought the drinks over, like, yeah, all right, cool. Shit.
You know, she came up
this nigga
train.
Bring out a big ass bottle of fucking.
Was it Dime P?
I don't know what the hell.
Nah, it was something.
That shit was tall as him, though.
Chris Starr was.
Big as fuck. Big ass bottle with some, I don't know. What
that bitch about my height.
And they drug it out the kitchen.
But just part of the bidding was, all that shit was. It helped us, it evolved us into who we was and stuff we done seen, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Conversations with moguls who done, you know what I'm saying, been in the game for, you know, 20 some years and stuff like that. Like, it's just a blessing for us to, you know, get that acknowledgement and gain that knowledge from them folks, you know what I'm saying?
Definitely. You guys seem like you still, like, have your heads screwed on straight. Like, was there a moment where you guys were like, fuck it, let's really, like, give this shit another go and, like, tap in, do some media, like, put out another album? Like, where are you guys at thought process-wise in terms of what y'all are trying to do with this shit?
Back at it.
Yeah, that's basically where we at right now. You know, that's why we're reaching out to everybody.
No cap.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because we got that young face. We still out here. You know what I'm saying? We young. You know what I mean?
And you guys have like a crazy, still just like a reputation, and like so many people just acknowledge immediately. As soon as you hear Travis Porter, it's like, man, that was a fucking moment. Like,
exactly.
Almost universally, people just remember the energy.
We gotta take advantage of that shit right now. Mm.
So the music, we got crazy music. It's not even new music. It's just music, period. We got old music and new music that we're about to just put out, and it's crazy.
And even just to hear you be like, oh, yeah. Awesome fucking legends, you know that shit. Just you know,
and we stand
like,
with the legends, you know, this shit legendary. This legendary interview
for sure.
Because a lot of people, you know, they burn out. They put out too much shit. People just get sick of it. People just completely get over it. It didn't really feel like it was like that kind of energy with you guys. It felt like you almost just sort of stepped back and and you know, at a certain point, you guys just weren't fully focused on it. But it's kind of motivational to see you guys still together, still like having a. I feel like if you guys secretly hated each other, I'll probably be able to tell.
For sure, you would, right?
Yeah. It's about the energy, man. The vibes. You
that's
know
the
what
thing
saying?
I feel like that's great about our career. Like, we didn't like drop a million mixtapes and it didn't work, you know what I'm saying? It was kind of like, damn, where they at? They stopped dropping music. Like, that's the best thing about our career, because if we went out like, damn, they dropped 50 mixtapes and nothing, then it was just like, damn.
You could tell when a rapper's not hot anymore, because they like literally just can't make a song that anybody gives a fuck about anymore. You see him try a thousand times, it just didn't work.
Yeah, yeah.
It's pretty obvious. Fetch, yeah.
Exactly. So you can really tell. You know what I'm saying? You can tell if people, if we're not really connected like that. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. 100%. So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of a shame because I feel like you guys, a big part of like who Travis Porter is the live show. And obviously, it's sort of limited with live shows right now. Although, I guess if you guys are like sort of down south and shit, it's probably not that limited.
We had one in Atlanta, like,
we
on the 21st.
This, we did, and we did this thing called the parking lot concert during the pandemic, to where everybody were on their cars and in their cars and shit like
just
that.
Turnt.
It was crazy.
Yeah, you know, Atlanta wide open.
That shit was like freaking it.
Really?
Yeah, they was dancing on the car.
That's the vibe.
That's one of them vibes.
Yo, that shit was fun as
The world is ready for a new Freaknik, I think, because people are so sick of being inside that they're ready to get out there and do some freaky shit and risk everything.
Yeah.
I thought California was opening back up.
I mean, like, you could still go to a restaurant, but you have to be, like, outside. So it ain't really. I don't think the clubs are. Maybe the clubs are open a little bit.
What's the best outside restaurant we can go to? Because
I'm hungry as fuck.
Like, if I was going outside to. If I had a party.
Yeah. It would be hard for me to even guess which ones are really open right now because I ain't been to that many in a long ass time. But,
oh, you've been in the house for
No, they go to BOA Steakhouse is the big one. If you want to see all the TikTok kids and shit, that's where you go. You're going to have some paparazzi YouTube type channels fucking snapping you guys up trying to figure out what the fuck's going on.
TikTok done took the fuck over, ain't it?
Yeah, yes. Right? You guys seem like you could do quite well on TikTok.
We still have our songs are going viral on TikTok right now.
They are.
Yeah, I believe it for sure.
Every damn week, it's crazy. Something different. Bring we just back actually, mixed with the mix we're not on it, though.
Mm.
We need to get more on it.
No, do you guys think you're too old to do a dance routine on TikTok? Or that's what the kids want these days.
I feel like that, but listen, I just feel age like ain't nothing.
It all depends on how hard you do it. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It depends on how you feel in the dance. Like, you can't be like on that bit dancing out hard like you.
Jason Derulo going crazy.
I ain't seen it.
Jason Derulo
Jason Derulo goes crazy.
He a dancer though. We not like dancers, but it's cool though. I see that shit.
Yeah, we ain't doing no damn routine.
Crawling on the ground, growling at people.
Fuck you to me. Fuck you to me.
I know y'all seen that.
I ain't seen it.
Definitely, yeah. I'm just glad to know that you guys think it's weird too.
Yes.
Oh man, yeah, but I mean, I don't know. It's just like it's weird to know. Like, I know this interview will do mad views because I know that the culture still like really wants to like see y'all win and like wants to see the story of Travis Porter like end or not end, but like have a more solid ending to it. Because that's like it's weird for me being like someone who's had a conversation about you with so many people and that it's like consistent. It's like, man, what happened to them guys? You know, I think there's a lot of people who want to see you guys win, so I'm glad to see that y'all are in the right state of mind to want to give them what they want, you know.
Yeah, hell yeah, man.
We did a couple remixes. We're finna put out some new music that's it's bigger than big. You know what I'm saying?
Is there anybody rap-wise that you guys still have like strong friendships with that you never fell out of touch with or whatever? Anybody that you've always like had that real strong connection with?
We ain't never fell out with nobody, really.
Nah, we never fell out with nobody. Mm-hmm. We fuck with everybody, rappers.
I don't think we was really never like friends.
Mm-hmm. Like we ain't, you know. But we ain't never fell out with nobody and had no real smoke with nobody. Like, you know what I'm saying, in the industry like that.
Respect.
You feel me, so?
Now, I got some real homies in the industry, though. Right. Like, you know, I got some homies. They ain't never fell out. Nothing.
Yeah, good to hear. Yeah, I mean, next time I go to Atlanta, it's just occurring to me, like, man, maybe I could hit up these guys and be like, go to strip club with them and be royalty.
Man, we fuck with everybody. Come on, Adam.
Real talk.
We fuck with everybody. Don't nobody not fuck with Travi.
That's what I'm saying.
If you will, you're a pussy.
If you say you don't fuck with Travi, and they going to be like, why? It's going to always be because of a bitch.
By the hoe.
That's so, what I was thinking.
You know
salty
what I'm saying?
By the hoe.
It can't never be about, oh, he did this and did that. Nah, it was your girl was somewhere where you ain't want her to be at. That's, you know what I'm saying? So
get your hoe, man.
She was with 199 other girls on the top floor of the standards.
Exactly.
Like we would say, get your hoe, man.
Get your hoe, man.
Not even knowing we weren't even paying her no mind.
Exactly. I'm telling you, man. She was just posting us.
No tell mind. You, man.
We wouldn't even worry about her.
Facts. Okay, so do you guys have any like concrete plans for new releases or anything y'all got coming out? Anything that we should know about that the fans can really keep an eye out for besides just following y'all on social media and whatnot?
No, we are actually dropping new music. That's concrete. Like, and we dropping a movie.
Oh, really?
Like a series movie. Like, I don't know what to compare to. I can't compare it to nothing. But it's like
we're shooting at the end of February though. So
yeah,
yeah, for sure.
It's basically everything trying to tell the story.
Damn, we need to get you in this shit, Adam.
I'm in there.
Exactly.
For real, because no, it's you about kind
of. But it's not. It's not. Our story is like series of us really.
It's about what's going on.
Yeah.
About, you know, everything that's going on in the world.
But you would be a great addition. Perfect.
No,
to
fact,
like,
that's a fact.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, in February.
Yeah. For sure.
I gotta make my acting debut. I ain't done it yet.
Oh, you ain't time for real?
No, I don't think so.
It's time for that.
Bro, if I go to do an acting role, what are they going to make me? They're going to make me a fucking Nazi skinhead or some shit with all these tattoos and everything. And I'm not trying to.
Nah, but this is actually you. This is actually your life. So it's going to work out. It's our life, your life. Mm. You know, this shit that we really got going on.
Maybe
so.
I can like work out really hard and turn into like a buff like prison dude.
Fuck that.
Just be that, right?
We ain't got no prison scenes in this shit. Bro.
Oh, okay, cool. I'm just trying to think of something that I would believe myself acting as. Yeah.
Oh, you could be a person in prison, bro.
Once you have all the tattoos and shit, I feel like as a white guy, people look at you like you could be like a tattoo. People come up to me all the time. Are you a tattoo artist?
Get the fuck away from me. You could be the drug lord.
I'm into
you. Yeah, you could be a tattoo artist or the drug lord, bro.
Like you could be meet somebody in the tux in the club. Like, yeah, you know, you got the money. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Or you could be doing a show with Yellow Wolf on the show or whatever, and I'll just play Yellow Wolf.
No keys.
Just give him a guitar.
Some shit like that.
Give him a guitar.
It's on the way.
That's MGK, man.
Stay tuned.
Yeah, definitely. 100% on that. All right, yo, Travis Porter, it's honestly an honor to get to talk to you guys, and I'm sure all the fans are going to be down below in the comments. And showing love, so shout out to everybody who enjoyed this, because I know that they I don't know if they've been asking for it, but I know they wanted it.
Yeah, I don't think they've been asking for it.
I ain't gonna lie, bro. The next time I come here, bro, I gotta bring some girls with me, bro.
Let's go.
Some girls I know that would be perfect for this.
I done hit some new girls that you done sat down with and talked to.
I believe that. I mean, I've had some girls on here that hit a whole lot of people, so, but I'm sure you hit some of the more rare ones.
No keys.
Travis Porter, good vibes all around, man.
It's mad love, man.
Travis Porter, No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. Check us on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes. Like, comment, subscribe, nojumper.com if you want to support. We're gonna hook these guys all up with condoms because they seem a little fascinated.
I want to try and see what's going on, man.
All day, let's do it.
Yeah.
Much love. Appreciate y'all.
No kids.